PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton. Today, we have, as per usual, picked something very light, no risk to it whatsoever, that anybody will be offended. We are going to be talking about Ariana Grande and I would say, shit show surrounding that whole public narrative. Mm-hmm. And I think whatever situation is going on, I think in whatever direction the situation takes itself, I think we can all say something is not going well.
Yes.
At like a top level. And I think that's maybe because I know you and I have chatted about it, obviously, as we do. And I think top level, we'll just dive right in. I think the way I look at it is whether it's a health issue, whether it may also be tied to disordered eating.
Yeah.
Something is not going well.
Yes.
when I observe it professionally and personally, it just something's not going well. So where are you top level, would you say?
Yes, I agree for sure. And I think it's tricky. You know, I think we've kept our mouth shut and not said anything because we haven't. It is a very tricky topic. I think that even we haven't talked about the whole celebrity discourse with GLP-1s and, you know, the skinny apocalypse and all of that, because I think there is a lot of truth to don't comment on people's bodies and it's not helpful. And I do agree with that in most cases. I think it gets really complicated when it is such a public-facing celebrity. She is not hiding, not that I'm saying she should be hiding, right? But like, she is on tour, she just put out another album, like she is very public facing right now. And I think I would feel differently if she was like living her life and taking a break. And maybe this makes me a hypocrite, but especially when you're like making a music video, I think that was really the tipping point for a lot of people. Is observing,
for me it was,
in the music video. I agree. And I think my caveat before we dive in is I'm obviously in recovery from an eating disorder. I work with clients with eating disorders. So I think Sam and I may have like – we'll have a lot in common, but we may share different things about it. And I think that, you know, if this is triggering to you, please obviously turn
opt
this
out.
Off. Take care of yourself. There isn't a perfect way to talk about this.
Nope.
And I think a lot of what we're going to talk about, it's sort of the thing where it's about Ariana, but it's not about Ariana. It is sort of about this social media visual culture we live in, this trend going back to extreme thinness. And what is the line when you are a public facing figure between basically what I keep thinking about is in the 2000s, Thinspo. Do you remember Thinspo?
I do.
And like pro Anna websites. And that stuff all got like banned on the internet, which was a good thing. And it sort of raises the question of like what happens when she is almost not even saying it's intentionally creating like pro Anna content, because that's exactly what it looks like. What is the line?
Yeah. I think I've thought a lot about this conversation, mm-hmm. and I've consumed a lot of other people's opinions. I think even some content creators who I trust to tackle mm-hmm. things with nuance. And I've really, like, I would say since the discourse started when the first press tour around the first Wicked movie yes. started. It'll be 2 years in November. And that was when I saw her. And I even remember being like, whoa, like, there's thin and yes. then there's thin. There's I'm built thin, and then there's this feels intentional thin. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah, I had that take of it's her life, it's her body. I'm not in it. I don't know her. Who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
I hope they take care of her. I think for me, what I have become increasingly concerned with is it looks to be getting worse.
I agree.
And the music video for me was the tipping point of where I kind of said to myself of like, this is a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think let me kind of go on the high level points that I think are a problem. And yeah. then you can kind of tell me where you like align with it.
Okay.
If there is a health issue, if there is some type of a health issue behind the scenes that is causing this problem.
Yeah.
The complete silence around it.
Yep.
Makes me feel that there's not a health issue.
Yes.
Because I think a health issue is the easiest, fastest way for her team to shut this conversation down. And to immediately circle the empathy wagons online, to enact her most loyal fans to go out and say, no, they said it's ABCDE problem. She's dealing with it. So sad. This is horrible. Awareness, you know, the yeah. usual social media waterfall that we are familiar with. So the fact that they are not going out of their way to release information around there's a health concern or intentional leaks, which we all know are a real thing in the celebrity mm-hmm. PR machine.
Yep.
There is nothing. There is nothing being said about anything.
Yeah.
And if you spend enough time in pop culture, consuming pop culture, being a fan of pop culture, being aware of pop culture, you learn that there are patterns to everything. Mm-hmm. And when there is complete silence on an issue, it tends to mean that the public conversation is probably leaning correct and they haven't figured out what to do with it yet.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I think if you look at the past, like, I think it yes. changes per celebrities, it changes correct. Per topic.
Right.
But given the context of everything her team has said, I think it's suspicious.
It is suspicious. And when they released the statement saying yes. that. She
that also
is,
felt like sort of a green light for me that like it we did. Can talk about it.
We can. This is they admitted it's there was moved. A problem.
Yeah.
Without saying it. And whenever yeah. a celebrity says, I'm going away because yeah. the stress is too much, they're going to deal with something. I don't know yeah. what they're going to deal with. I don't know how, but they are going away to deal with something. And I mean, even like the Taylor of it all, I am not trying to make a comparison here, but thinking of the post 1989 pre-rep absence mm-hmm. where she just disappeared, mm-hmm. right? It's proof that when a celebrity, even of that magnitude, wants to go away, they go away. Mm-hmm. And I think with Ariana's announcement and then the way she addressed it at the concert,
yes,
the day the announcement dropped, there it was just a whole lot of words of nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think what I've wrestled with as I've like consumed a lot of content and listened to what other people's thoughts are and tried to challenge like my own projections and assumptions of what's going on.
Yeah.
I just think factually there is a legitimate visual difference between someone who just happens to be built thin and is healthy versus someone that is either going through something in their body that is causing their body severe stress. Or they are choosing a lifestyle that is creating this type of a body.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be as gentle as I can with this mm-hmm. because I understand how fragile it is and how sensitive it is for other people. Mm-hmm. And I also think we all need to practice allowing ourselves to have this level of nuanced conversation mm-hmm. when it's kind of in our face.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's so hard. Like, I've seen some eating disorder therapists that are just like, never comment on anyone's yeah. body. It's not helping her. And I even kind of like, I think I do agree with that. Like, I don't really know if there are people being like, we need to tell her this. We need yeah. to be. I don't think so. I don't think, while yes, public perception can push someone to do something, like, I think it did push her to take a break, which is probably the right move for her.
Yeah.
I don't sit around being like, I don't live my life, and I don't think any of us should live our life being like, I'm going to make a difference with a celebrity online. I'm going to help them
right.
by coming into their comments or talking about it in any way. The reason I am okay with being involved in this conversation is I am concerned about the thinspo of who she is existing all day, every day on the internet.
1,000%. And my whole thing of saying there's a difference between the thinness, right, mm-hmm. like body types, is I do think what we're both getting at is we're starting to normalize something that is categorically dangerous.
Yes.
Eating disorders are categorically dangerous.
Anorexia has the highest mortality rate of any mental health diagnosis.
Yeah. It is a slow Karen form Carpenter, of suicide.
Karen Carpenter died at the same age as Ariana Grande, I think in the 80s. Mm-hmm.
And if you see footage of Karen Carpenter performing prior to her death.
Yeah.
It looks like a duck. It quacks like a duck. It walks like a duck.
Well, that, I mean, Karen Carpenter, yeah. yeah. They admitted that she.
Yeah, they admitted back then. Yeah. Back then.
Yeah.
So I, for me, it is, it's also for an Ariana Grande, the age of her fan base.
Yes.
I think she has a very, obviously, like, across ages, she has fans. Everybody does. Yeah. But I think Ariana Grande tends to lean very young.
Yeah, I would agree.
In her fandom. And I think it's just, I think with, like, add in the GLP-1s of it all, there is this very difficult conversation going on of when is it a healthy endeavor for someone to say, I am going to be losing weight, mm-hmm. right? I'm working on this part of my body because I'm working with my doctor on it and what have you, mm-hmm. versus are there bandwagoners who mm-hmm. see this as a cloak and cover to validate having yes. these disordered eating tendencies, and they mm-hmm. now feel that they have cover from this, right?
Well, I would even take that a step farther in terms of there is a lot of research now coming out, which is no surprise to me.
Right.
I mean, even we can talk about it in, you know, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Layla talks about how she was abusing a GLP-1 and she couldn't stop. Like, if I were in my eating disorder, I took Adderall to try to kill my appetite. I would yeah. have absolutely taken GLP-1s to kill my appetite. You can get them at any med spa now. Mm-hmm. So it is a broader problem when we're not saying that GLP-1s are bad or we should ban them or anything like that. Like, there right. are real uses for them, and there's really interesting research about addiction treatment, cancer, mm-hmm. you know, dopamine, all of that yep. stuff. But they are at risk. Like, people with eating disorders are at risk for abusing them. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, as celebrities become more and more thin, that mm-hmm. is, we're shifting the Overton window to what it looks like. And it becomes even more dangerous when it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it is accessible for a lot of people to just get a drug that destroys your appetite. Like, there used to be some sort of modern check on it was, not everyone could starve themselves because of biology and your body fighting back, where now we have this drug that can allow you to override that, which is dangerous.
Incredibly dangerous. And I think my struggle with the don't comment on people's bodies.
Yeah.
Is, I think it's like anything. Mm-hmm. it can become a blanket statement that people use to avoid difficult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the Ariana discussion, I feel like the people that are I've seen eating disorder therapists too that I follow kind of talking about like it's not healthy and helpful. But I think when I hear the therapist talking about it, it's more from the same lens that you brought up of like, we don't know this person. We're not in this person's circle. We can't actually influence this person in what they're doing or how they're living. So stop stressing yourself about this person's life, right?
Yeah.
That's a different boundary.
Yeah.
Where I have a problem with the whole like, we don't talk about people's bodies is I'm like, well, we talk about fat people's bodies all day long.
Yes.
All day long, we are talking about people's bodies who, for whatever our perspective is, we deem as fat. We're talking about, should we talk about them? Should we not talk about them? They're this, they're that. They cause body positivity, body neutrality, health. Yep. Is there health at every size? But like, yes. We are talking about fatness constantly.
Yeah.
So I find it really rich that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when we're talking about someone who is presenting as physically ill,
yeah,
all of a sudden, we don't comment mm-hmm. on bodies.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think the hope, right, is that, mm-hmm. or the, at least the eating disorder therapist stance is that yeah. we shouldn't comment on anyone's bodies. And
period.
And I hear
end
that.
Story.
And I truly, the interesting thing is like, I would have gone to bat for that not long ago before Ozempic existed. Because
yeah.
I did feel like I think the fact that it is like an unnatural thing that people can abuse is what complicates this quite yes. a bit. And people, to be extremely clear, right, you can be malnourished and in a fat body. Like a lot of yeah. times the data, like I don't have her labs, right? Like the labs no. and the data make a big difference in treating an eating disorder as well.
Right.
But again, I've been hearing a lot about like people relapsing from it, being extremely triggered mm-hmm. from it. And I think it's a fascinating question of even like, what does a celebrity owe us? Because I've kind right. of been talking as though like she is creating Thinspo and, you know, we were saying she has a young fan base, but it is like she doesn't. What is the contract between mm-hmm. a celebrity and a regular person, like what, like even the unexpressed, I don't know. I think we've never had, it's so hard. And I guess to play devil's advocate towards myself, you know, like obviously if someone were deep in an addiction, I wouldn't say they owe us getting sober or whatever. I would be like, give them compassion and grace. They are clearly struggling with a substance use problem. And mm-hmm. I can't diagnose her, obviously, with an eating disorder, if we assume that,
yeah,
I think they're still great. I'm like, I think, to be very clear, we're not saying she's bad, she's wrong, she's doing this on purpose. Like, I think she is definitely struggling.
Right. Whatever direction it is. Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess I do think if someone was struggling, because I keep trying to like see it from a different perspective to see if it would change my answer. Like if she were, we saw Justin Bieber imploding his life. He doesn't owe us sobriety, but I would be sitting on a podcast saying you should go get help and take a break.
Go get help and take a break.
And especially if your eating disorder is being triggered by public scrutiny, which I don't think it's a far off statement based on her own statement, based on her rep statement, and based on the whole thesis of the Petal music video. It does feel like let's take a break for our health.
I think something that I struggle with when we throw out a blanket statement of like, we shouldn't talk about people's bodies, which like at a pure stance, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think the line and I try hard in my personal life to not do that. Like that's a yes. personal value that I try to live by.
Definitely.
And the same thing with like with my clients, health at every size is my yes. baseline, right? Yes. I do not care how you look. I care what your doctor says, what your labs say, how you're feeling in your body, what works for you, your history, right? It is so much more complicated
yeah.
than just like, well, how do you look, right?
Yeah.
So I want to get that out of the way. I think at the at a larger conversation, I think when the line becomes, we can't talk about people's bodies. It's like, well, everybody already is.
Yeah.
And I would rather have professionals sharing legitimate, complicated insight around what it is than just kind of this moral high ground of like, you can't and you shouldn't. Because it's like, well, everyone is. And this is not the whole like, well, everybody is nosediving off the cliff, so let us all go together.
Yeah.
But I think what is lacking is a depth of professional conversation around what could be going on.
Yeah.
And I would even be the first to say I haven't dived into it because eating disorder, I know how to support eating disorder. I know how to help with eating disorder. It is not my specialty background. And I know how the internet works. People will come at you and be like, you don't even know how to talk about this.
Yeah.
But I think that is what is so difficult is this even ties into this idea of like experts are gone, right? Yes. It's just a bunch of people throwing out their anxieties, their fears, their projections, their desire for bait, clickbait and rage bait and content bait and all of it. Yep. And so I have a hard time when some professionals or even just people stand up and say like, well, don't talk, like the whole root of this here is don't talk about people's bodies.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, sure. We could stand up and say, don't do that. And people would be like, you're right.
Yeah.
I have betrayed my values.
Yeah.
But I feel like now it's just
well, can as, we talk about it as like, please. What if we're not talking about her body? Mm. What if we're talking about her eating disorder?
That's the whole thing.
I get for Chad, me. You know, like I think obviously of Chadwick Boseman, and it was a horrible good example of you horrible. Have no idea what's going on. My mom has pancreatic cancer.
Yep.
She looks like Ariana Grande. Like she is extremely thin and she doesn't want to talk about it. So I think and that's why I think the line for me was her team not saying anything. The music video and her addressing it is maybe she does have another health problem going on. And I have space for that. But I think it's very unlikely. And I think we are allowed to comment on someone having a mental health very likely mental health diagnosis. Yes. And even broader, what happens when we are creating this environment where people have a very easy way to get this mental health diagnosis, essentially, because I think we don't talk enough about how eating disorders are actually incredibly addictive.
Incredibly.
And not in a food is addictive way, in a the feeling of being in control over your food, your body weight, your shape. You feel powerful. When you can avoid food and other people can't, you feel powerful when you can lose weight. There is a big level of when you're starving yourself, feeling like you're better than other people and you've figured something out. And, you know, it's sort of like not sleeping, like you can live, you know, better than other people. And you get even like a satisfaction out of people telling you, you know, you look good. That's why we shouldn't talk about people losing weight, you know, because there's a lot of like positive commentary that comes. And what is the environment that we're living in, right? That is kind of creating fueling this it. Environment. Yes. And we do need to be able to talk about that because these women and girls are being raised in this media environment, especially now on social media, where you can't even just block and unfollow. It is served to you and you have no control. And I remember when I first got on TikTok a couple years ago, I remember lots of us were talking about how, like, if you have an eating disorder, don't go on TikTok because you can't control the algorithm. No. And now look at where we are with Instagram.
Yeah. It's the same problem. And I think that was exactly what I was getting to with the whole, like, that's great to say, like, don't talk about people's bodies. And it's like, well, one, they are. Two, it's exactly as you said, we're not. Like, we're talking about what the possibility is here and the very real implications of that. And the fact that there are millions and millions and millions of men and women who live with eating disorders every single day.
Yeah.
And the reality that we are now living in a larger culture that is now renormalizing the penultimate trigger for an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Which is thinness. Totally. Right? And so it's like, if I'm not allowed to talk about that, what's the point of anything?
Yeah.
Like, what if you're going to sit there and say, well, we can't talk about it at all because we're not supposed to talk about people's bodies. Then let's just like phone it in, everybody, because what's the point of awareness then?
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, I could say anything could be offensive to anybody. So we shouldn't talk about that thing. Mm-hmm.
All right, if you're listening to this and feeling like something is landing, like you keep hearing yourself in what Sam and I are talking about, I want you to pay attention to that because when that happens, it's not a coincidence. And if you've been thinking about therapy, but you've really had not great luck, you want someone who gets it, not just clinically, but personally, I want to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. All of our therapists have actually been through the things we treat, whether that's trauma, anxiety, eating disorders, parenthood. When you're sitting there and talking about hard things, you know that the person on the other side really gets it. That's really why I started my practice, because I was sick of going to therapists who didn't fully understand the things that they were treating. At this point, we have over 30 therapists, and we actually hand match you to the right one based on what you're going through. And if we don't get the match right, we'll waive your intake fee and help you switch to another therapist in the practice. We really feel like finding the right therapist shouldn't feel like another thing to white knuckle through. When you reach out to us, you can talk to our intake coordinator, you can email us, you can text us. We'd love to hear from you. We serve 42 states online, in person in the Philadelphia area, but right now we have immediate openings in North Carolina, Arizona, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, South Carolina, Ohio. We'd love to support you if you're looking for a new therapist. Reach out to us at therapyforwomencenter.com. Or you can text us at 215-847-6749.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change presents Wisdom from the Road.
Summer means wide open spaces and a whole lot of extra miles. The last place you want your engine to give out is halfway to nowhere. Out here, low oil or a weak battery is just an ambush waiting to happen. That's why every oil change at Valvoline Instant Oil Change includes an 18-point maintenance check. These techs are trained to help spot issues early and keep you riding easy.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Change wisely.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero Pain au Chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Well, I think it's hard too, even being a clinician, I think about hygiene.
Yeah.
Right? As a clinician, right? And to be clear, like hygiene, I really believe we've moralized way too much. You could unpack the religion of all of that.
Your body is a temple.
Right, exactly. Like there is a lot there. But you know, I think when people think of a therapist like commenting on someone's physical appearance, which literally you're partly trained to do because it is information, it's data, it's not all of the information. We're not sitting here judging the person who, you know, is like disheveled or whatever. But when you're talking about a mental health issue, it does involve how you take care of yourself physically. Yes. It's why we ask about your drinking habits, your eating habits, your sleeping habits, all of those things impact your mental health. If you are struggling with depression, it often does have a side effect of it's hard for you to eat, or maybe you overeat. It's hard for you to sleep. Mm-hmm. Maybe you oversleep. It's hard for you to shower, take care of yourself, do basic hygiene. Not mm-hmm. as it's morally bad, but as this is a symptom of something. So mm-hmm. can we talk about Ariana Grande? This is a sip. We're not saying she definitely has an eating disorder from looking at her, but we're saying when we put some of the clinical pieces together, it is resembling that.
Yes. Yes. 1,000%. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think the hygiene one is the easiest metaphor to use mm-hmm. for that, because it's like, it is true. In school, they're like, okay, if you have a client that 9 times out of 10 is showing up showered, clean, like neutral smell,
yeah,
right, like together, and then all of a sudden 3 sessions in a row you're noticing their hair is becoming more tangled and more greasy, you're noticing an increase in body odor, you are noticing yeah. that they're talking about like, ugh, you know, like showering takes so much energy, right?
Yeah.
That is not me going, look at this disgusting person showing up in my office looking awful. Right. That is us literally saying something very, very bad happened 3 to 4 weeks ago, i.e. some type of a trigger. Was there a death in the family, a friend, a pet? Did they lose a job? Did they go through a breakup? Right? Like yeah. that is me using that as a sign to say, ooh, we're in a bad place.
Right. We're putting so, these clinical pieces yes, together.
These clinical pieces together. And then you ask about it. Mm-hmm. And this is where like rapport and relationship comes in, which is why exactly as you brought up earlier, us all melting down about Ariana personally right. doesn't work, because right. she doesn't know us.
Yes.
She doesn't know you.
This false advocacy. No, yes. you're not helping her. Like you're no. concern trolling her.
Right.
Like
exactly.
You being in her comments about it. Is not
helpful.
Helpful.
No. No. Now, the larger discussion engaged in like, ooh, thinness, eating disorders, blah, 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 right? Like,
yeah.
that is the natural consequence when such a public-facing figure yes. lives their life. Unfortunately, yeah. that has been how it is for forever. You can think of any major mega celebrity. Even think of like Robert Downey Jr.'s addiction issues in the early to mid-90s. Like, you can't ignore it.
The meme, when, I always think of the meme of Ben Affleck smoking the cigarette.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. Just, like, so done with it. That's how I feel right now, actually, today. But, like, yeah, I don't know. And when I think of, like, the whole eating disorder, GLP-1 marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It is dicey. Because... Yeah. The my body, my choice extends beyond abortion, right?
Yeah.
My body, my choice. I get to do what I want. Mm-hmm. And with disordered eating, there is a very fine line of like calling attention to like, yes, maybe for somebody that is the truth. But for you, yeah. why are we wanting to use a GLP-1 all of a sudden? Right?
Yes.
But if you yeah. avoid those types of difficult conversations, you can't have those conversations with people.
Yeah.
If your fear is like, well, I don't want to offend you by commenting on your body, right? Fine. And I would say there's like a line of like friends bringing this stuff up, right? Like I don't know mm-hmm. if friends necessarily or family, maybe family, if you have the right type of relationship, yeah. you can start bringing it up, but also I think what does it, where I'm going with this is I think what impacts yours and I's approach to this is we're trained to have those conversations and our yeah. job is to have those conversations. And so I think yeah. we are like high level coming at this from like a very clinical professional lens. And I just want to validate if you know somebody in your life that has an eating disorder or like a family member or a friend.
Yeah.
It is so morally dicey to say like, where is the line? Where is the line between like they have the right to do this and live this way versus we need to intervene? And it's a question we wrestle with.
You have a frame in clinical mm-hmm. treatment, right? Because you can kind of say someone isn't safe. Mm-hmm. Someone needs a higher level of care. I need to refer someone out. It's not appropriate. Right. for someone to continue to see me. They, you know, they need something else. So we have that barrier. But yeah, it's really hard when it's a friend, a family member, a child, yeah. things like that, or, you know, even just not like a minor, but like your child. Mm-hmm. But I just go back to plastic surgery addiction, yeah. substance use. Like, this is what's hard with this is these things, gambling, yeah. right? Like, when it becomes an addiction, people lose control a lot of times. And the best thing you can do is emotionally offer to support them, suggest resources, be open to talking to them. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, depending on your relationship with them, potentially setting boundaries. Yeah. Right, with them as well. Mm-hmm. Like, there may be a time where you say, like, I love you, I care about you, I'm here for you no matter what, and like,
I can't watch you this.
Kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when you talk about boundaries in this frame, right? Not just yeah. like, oh, I've had a busy week, I need to say no to going out with my friends.
Right.
When you talk about right. boundaries in this way, right? It really is the starkest example of you are allowed to live your life however you want to live. Mm-hmm. And I will live mine in the way mm-hmm. I need to while you live this way.
Yes.
Right.
Right. You can't control nope. that person. You can't change
can't
them.
Can't change it.
But you can yeah, and, change your how you right. interact
and,
with them.
And with addiction, I think, and this mm-hmm. I think addiction is the umbrella, right? Put whatever you want underneath yeah. this, eating disorder included. I think yeah. people who know somebody that's suffering, they panic thinking of doing that because they're like, well, what if they wake up one day and decide that they need help, or what if something happens, or what if they, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not telling you have to go no contact.
Right.
What I'm telling you is you can also add in the boundary, like, the second you want help, the drawbridge goes down.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. When you come to me and you say, I need help. Can you help me with this? I need help with that. Blah, blah, blah. Right? When that person shows that they want to make change, they want to take action, you can go all in. You can go crazy. Right? Yeah. But yeah. when they are engaging in behaviors that are making it impossible for you to maintain a normal, healthy relationship with mm-hmm. them, you then get to say, while you do A, B, C, D, E, I will not do F and G.
Yeah.
H, I, J, K. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you yeah. have permission to do that while someone is utilizing their free will in a way that makes it hard for us to stay connected with them.
And I think the really hard thing that people don't want to sit with is – it is very unlikely. If someone is really, really ill yeah. and they are not interested in help,
yeah.
it is really unlikely you're going to be able to make them change. If someone really wants to kill themselves, you can put them in mental hospitals. You can do all kinds of yep. things. They will try to find yep. a way. And that sounds like really cold and terrible, but I also think it is just like a grappling with mm-hmm. people are individuals. They have free will. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we can support, we can do everything that we can, but we ultimately do not have control over someone else.
Not at all. And I think the importance of this discussion surrounding Ariana Grande, mm-hmm. I think so much of it is like, okay, if we're gonna keep going the route of, you know, don't comment on people's bodies, right? But you can comment on yours. Right? Mm-hmm. It's your body, you get to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I think, yep. you know, for us to address at a higher level, like, okay, there's nothing we can do publicly to influence Ariana, right? We have to hope yep. that she has the people in her life that are trying their best or are supporting her while she figures things out, whatever it is, right? That is the only thing we can hope for her, that when this mm-hmm. tour is over and she yep. goes away, she takes care of herself, however that looks for her. And I think in the meantime, like, this is an opportunity for a lot of people to look at themselves and say, mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, like, what did this bring up in me? Right? Like, when I yeah. see her, what did this bring up in me?
Yeah.
Like, I think that is where you can actually have, like, meaningful dialogue when you allow these larger social macro pop culture conversations to actually apply to you and your life, that's totally. Where like you pull actual meaning from. You know, you can just bitch back and forth all day about some certain celebrity, and we all do because we're all human, and I'm not sitting here trying to have this like Pollyanna utopian view, but I think if you really want this conversation to have meaning, if you've been paying attention to this and it's really bothering you, the only thing you can do is bring it back to yourself and decide, like, how do I want to live? What do I value with seeing this? Like, what have I learned about myself and how upset this has made me? Right?
Totally. The other thing I keep thinking of is, you know, if any of you haven't listened, we did a Britney Spears episode that was very nuanced that circles some of these topics for sure. Yeah. And I think one thing that, especially since this has sort of been admitted, especially since the music video came out, especially since she's going to go away, but she's going to finish her tour first. Mm-hmm. What came up for me also was like, where is the line in like responsibility of her team?
Yeah.
Not that they can make her get well.
Right.
But there were a lot of people on that like music video set. There are people making her clothing. She has a tour manager. There are people watching her perform every night. And based on the clips, it seems very scary where it looks like sometimes you don't know if she's going to
pass out,
fall over. Yeah. Which is like especially in the heels she's wearing, like extremely dangerous. And it's like, at what point also, though, do people have responsibility where they're sort of enabling this behavior as well? Again, they can't change it, but are people bringing up these concerns? Is her family? Are they?
Yeah.
We obviously don't know, but like it is such an extreme example to see someone. And I think that's why this is getting so much attention. Mm-hmm. Publicly continuing to do lots and lots of stuff.
A public facing in events.
This, yes. In this frame, to the point that people are afraid they're going to watch her pass out, fall over on stage.
I'll be the first to say I like Ariana Grande. And so like whenever like a celebrity that I – or like an artist specifically, when an artist is on tour, I will always watch their show clips. Always, right? Especially if I wasn't able to get tickets or if I just didn't care to get them, right? I always watch.
Yep.
These clips, I've never experienced how painful it's been to watch these.
Yes.
I haven't watched them because I don't enjoy it, because I feel it's almost voyeuristic to me. And it's very uncomfortable for me. And I just have a lot of concerns, and I'm with you. I've had the same thought of like, what the hell is happening behind the scenes? And I don't pretend to think it's easy to stand up and say, I'm going to cancel a tour, right?
Right.
But I also think we have seen artists cancel tours for much less.
Yes.
Much less.
Yes.
Like some situations where I'm like, really? Like, you couldn't figure that out, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is to me, that means it comes from the top, which tells me for whatever reason, it's her choice. Mm-hmm. It's her decision. And I think at the end of the day, her team, I also think, I'm glad you brought up the Britney, because I think the Britney of all of it plays into this of, I could see a world where her team is like, we don't want to be perceived as if we are Britney's team. And we are yanking her off of the stage. And taking her away with no explanation, right? Like, I think from a strategy standpoint, that thought just crossed my mind of, you know, what do you do? Like, if you're managing someone and they're the show pony and they have a full tour and they're like, no, I'm doing the tour. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the situations are.
I know.
Behind the scenes where tours are pulled and stuff like that. I mean, I assume it is a lot of team pressure. And I can't imagine ticket sales. I mean, maybe people are because they want to see her, which is even more
disgusting. It's sold out.
It turns my stomach.
When it went, it sold out in like 20 minutes. Like the entire tour. So I think we've already had our tickets. And I think what's jarring for me is that it's like I said, at the first Wicked tour, I was like, ooh, right? At the second one, I was like, whoa. And now with this tour, I'm like, yeah. And I think the tickets came out like last year, I think. She announced the tour like a while ago. So
yeah, it's confusing why she is releasing an album while she's on tour.
Yeah. I know. Well, yeah. I
don't, maybe that's more common now since.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so it's so messy. I think that's just what I keep coming to. It's so messy, like physically and literally.
And I think like while I don't think she's talked openly about mental health issues, like I think that it's pretty clear she's had a lot of relationships and she's struggled a lot and right, like the Mac Miller of it all.
Unprocessed grief.
Clearly that has impacted her. She got divorced and never stopped working. She got divorced on the set of Wicked, immediately was dating
Ethan Slater.
Now they're not together, which again, like lots of celebrities date and break up, but it's a lot of like divorce, you know, Trump, like these really big things that she hasn't, especially the past couple of years, like hasn't stopped working. I mean, the Wicked, people have said, was like a really grueling.
Yeah. Well, it was a grueling film schedule. And then it was a grueling press tour. Like it was 2 years of work.
And then to also be releasing
music.
I think when did Eternal Sun? Yeah, two albums, touring. Yeah. She's on like SNL multiple times. Yeah. Like, it's a lot.
Well, and I think here's the thing. And this kind of goes back to like the clinical perspective that we gave in like the hygiene example. I tell people all the time, like, I think you're the greatest in the world and you're not special. None of us are special. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a way of patterns are patterns for a reason. And every possible issue tends to have a predictable pattern leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trained to look for. And that's the reality. There's a bell curve in how people grieve. There's a bell curve in how people experience anxiety. There's a bell curve in how people experience OCD or depression, eating disorders, suicidality, the severely pervasive mentally ill diagnoses, right? There's a pattern to how people behave when they are, you know, cheating on their partners, or they suspect that they are being cheated on, or they are going through a breakup, or there are patterns to how everybody processes things because humans are actually not that different.
Yep.
And I just want to say that to validate, like, if you notice something and you are picking up on someone's behaviors that you are seeing, there is a strong chance there is a reason why. Yeah. And I think, you know, Amanda kind of laying out this pattern of what Ariana has gone through is, it's like, from a therapist's perspective, that is a recipe for disaster in some form, whether it leans to the physical exhaustion. Right?
Yep.
She's at her end, like meaning her wit's end of, I do need a break and I don't know if I'll be back. I'll let you know. Right? Great. Or she coped with the stress and the tension and the pressure by developing an eating disorder, possibly. Right? Like patterns are patterns. And I think that is what's hard is like, if you are a critical thinker and you do just look at things as a whole, it's really hard to look at this and just go, she's fine.
I agree.
You know, we've kind of gotten into like, this is probably like an episode unto itself, but you and I, off air, if you will, have talked about like some of the public figures right now that are like openly, without shame, sharing everything that is going on in their personal lives.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And I do think that conversation, that's one that we could have all by itself, but the reason I bring that up is because I think it does go to like, what is the line for celebrity?
Mm-hmm. And is it different with a content creator?
Yeah. Is it different for someone who is technically a normal person that happen to achieve fame and exposure through these platforms, right? Mm-hmm. Versus...
And that makes their job even more yes. that because they don't have another job. They don't job, have another right? job. They're not making music. They're not in a film.
Right.
Their job is sharing about their yes. life. So messy.
It gets so messy. And then so then for Ariana, it's like, do we all need to shut up and not care? Because at the end of the day, my life is in no way impacted by whatever is happening in Ariana Grande's world. Or any celebrity yeah. for that matter. It doesn't, it means that yeah. if I never heard about somebody again, it would never impact my life. Other than maybe saying like,
yeah.
oh, I wish they would release new music. Or, oh, I liked mm-hmm. seeing them in certain films, right? Like, it's this weird ever-evolving discussion that I think is even more prevalent now with how easy it is to have personal access to these people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to feel it's the parasocial of it all.
Yeah. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode and good for you for sticking through it because it is a very nuanced yep. episode. And like we always say, like this is us practicing, you know, sitting in the discomfort, thinking about things from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you being here and being interested in this.
Yeah. And we are over on the Substack. We are at nuanceneeded.substack.com. We both write articles over there, make little posts. We have an amazing little chat going on that we'd love to see you in. And as per usual, anything you could do to rate, review, share, subscribe would be amazing. Help us get the name out. And we think you're the best.
Bye.
Real value shows up in reliability you don't have to second guess. Like a set of Firestone all-season tires. They're designed to deliver confidence-inspiring wet weather traction and a quieter ride, no matter the road, season after season. Firestone all-season tires. For durability, you can count on. Just like people count on you. Firestone. Always dependable. Since 1900.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
You know what quality feels like. You can see it in the way a fabric moves, recognize it in a flawless fit, and appreciate it in the details that make our styles unique. It's the standard Coldwater Creek has honored for over 40 years, derived from a rich Mountain West heritage and designed for today in styles that are distinctively Coldwater Creek. For a wardrobe you can count on season after season, visit coldwatercreek.com. Shop new arrivals and save 15% on purchases $75 or more with code IHEART.